The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back. And there is a lot of news to share with you since we have seen you last. The big story breaking today in Georgia involving Jalen Carter, one of the premier players in college football, possibly the best player in the draft. He was in Indianapolis, and he apparently was at the scene of the fatal crash. He put out a statement on Twitter saying, "This morning I received a telephone call from the Athens, Georgia Police Department involving two misdemeanor warrants that have been issued against me for reckless driving and racing." Numerous media reports also have acknowledged that. Anyway, long story short, Jalen Carter heading back to Georgia right now to answer these charges. His future very much up in the air, and it is a story that we will cover in great detail this afternoon. Let's talk to Seth Emerson from The Athletic. Seth, good afternoon. Thanks for being here. And if you wouldn't mind, I realize a lot of the audience may be hearing this for the first time. If you could explain all of this, how it came about, and then we'll get to what it all means. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. So if everyone remembers back, January 15th, that night, next morning, actually January 16th, earlier in the afternoon that Saturday after Georgia's national championship, Georgia had its championship celebration. And early that morning, there was a car crash that took the lives of Georgia offensive lineman Devin Willick, whose 21st birthday was yesterday, and recruiting staffer Chandler LaCroix, who was at the wheel of the car. And there was a long investigation, and all along, Paul, I had heard, some other media people had heard, that this may have been the result of racing, or that maybe not the result, but racing was involved, another car. So that was kind of the other shoe that we were waiting to drop. And while it was something we had heard, it was something that we were kind of letting the police, you know, you want the police to say that. And this morning they did, when they released basically all in one the results of their investigation, which also had the toxicology report that the driver, Chandler LaCroix, was about twice the legal limit in Georgia to be driving, and details on how she and Jalen Carter and the other car were racing down this road. And Carter is charged with two misdemeanors, reckless driving and racing, and each misdemeanor punishable by up to a year in jail, but they're misdemeanors, they're not felonies. And as you read that statement at the opening there, he's disputing some of the reports that have been out there, I guess, about details there. And he's going to try and refute the actual charges, and we will see where that goes.
So, Seth, he was at the combine. He's now left. Do we have any other idea? We've also heard from Kirby Smart a statement. I realize we're still in the fairly early stages of this, but what do you think is next? Is it Jalen Carter? Is it something else, or what is it?
Speaking to some people today, it was relayed to me that they don't anticipate any more major developments, that this is it. Now, something else could come up, but they've been investigating this for a month and a half, and obviously there's been a lot of attention on it, so it's not something that's, you know, been relegated to, you know, a couple rookie cops off in the corner. It's had some resources on it, and this is what they've come to. So this is what we think. I think there's some finality to the investigations, and they did make a point of telling me, like, you know, the investigations are always kind of ongoing. Something else could come up. There may be a threat here, maybe a threat there, but the decision to make these charges generally is it's not just made by the police. They do consult with the people who will be in charge of prosecuting the case. So these charges were made in consultation with the district attorney of Athens, Clark County. And at this point, no additional charges, I'm not hearing, are expected.
Seth, going back to the timeline, and it seems like that's where we're always going in cases like this. Jalen Carter was where when this wreck occurred, this fatal wreck occurred?
Don't know. He was racing the other car. That's all that we know.
But the reason I bring that up, because there's some confusion in terms of what he has stated previously, perhaps to authorities.
Yeah, I don't know. That's they didn't speak to me on that. That wasn't in the arrest report or the report or the release they put out. I actually asked about, you know, why wasn't there a leaving the scene charge, and was told that it's because he was at the scene. They did talk to him at the scene. I don't know if he left the scene and came back, but I was told they interviewed him at the scene. They made contact with him at the scene, and they talked to him there. And maybe there were some conflicting, you know, reports there, but honestly, I'm not sure the huge, I guess, deal with that. You know, they've concluded that he was racing her, which is obviously against the law.
I'm stumbling here, Seth, because I realize we're the public. We are not entitled to know anything, but it just feels wrong, this whole thing, other than the obvious tragedy about how little we were told when so much was known at the time. I know there's been a lot of criticism directed at another school in another state, but can you help us with all of this, try to figure out why all this is only coming out now?
Well, which parts do we have concern about coming out now? Like I said, about the part that if racing was probably involved.
Yeah, that's a pretty big part.
You know, that was something that, again, we all kind of heard.
Yeah, but Seth, hold on a second. I'm not coming after you. I'm just simply stating that it was a terrible story. We heard a little bit. We all felt the same way. We talked to you that day, but it just seems like, I don't even know where to blame. I think the public, it just feels like somebody decided to hold off and let the dust settle before the rest of this was always going to come out, wasn't it?
Yeah, but is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with letting the police conduct their investigation
and
restrained in terms of what we, you know, report until we know it, until we can report it?
I don't know. I'm just asking. I really don't know what the answer to that is, Seth. I'm just asking people that have been covering this since January 15th to try to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a tendency to try and find some blame. Unfortunately, I think, you know, and obviously the police have put some, I don't even know if blame is the right word, they've decided to charge Jalen Carter in connection with it. But it seems like the blame, it lies with the driver of the car,
right,
who paid for her life with it.
Listen, that's completely correct. You said you had heard things, and I realize reporters hear a lot of things, but can you help us understand that part of it better in terms of what was when you and other reporters looked into this, what were you met with, or if you can share that with us?
I don't know that. I mean, it was more just kind of people talking and people saying, like, in understood off the record, like, yeah, the racing may have been involved here, but honestly, I didn't hear Jalen Carter's name as the one until today, until it was in the police report. Like, nobody was covering that up. I think that's the other thing, is if you kind of blithely throw out that this was involved, you know, someone else was racing, and you're kind of waiting for someone to be charged for it, then all of a sudden you've got all the speculation about who, like, which 84. And you don't want that public speculation if it's not, nailed down, and the police weren't willing to confirm that until that part of their investigation was done.
Seth, could you, and I realize you don't work there anymore, but your former employer reported that he left the scene of the crime, of the fatality. Can you square, I realize that I'm putting you in an awkward position, but a lot of the public heard about that first, and now they're hearing about this.
Yeah, I can't speak to that, to where they report. I know that I did my due diligence today, in the last couple hours. And the answer I got on, I think I told you earlier, a few minutes ago, I did ask why not a leaving the scene charge. And the answer was they did talk to him at the scene. Whether he left and came back to the scene, I don't know. But the answer was they did talk to him at the scene. And he is not charged with that. And they're not anticipating, unless something else comes up, any more charges than these.
And Seth, I know you alluded to this earlier, and I hate to keep being repetitive, but this is all rather confusing to us who are hearing about it mostly for the first time. In terms of the school, do we expect anything more from them? I realize they're dealing with a multiple tragedy here on many levels, but it does cast it doesn't change the outcome as you so correctly said, but it does open some more windows for questions, does it not?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago at the athletic board meeting, I wasn't there. I was dealing with my own family emergency, but the athletic director and the president were asked about what policies might you be looking at or changing, and Josh Brooks, the AD, said, we'll kind of, we're looking into it and we'll let you know. We may reveal it later, but President Jerry Moorhead, and I'm paraphrasing, basically kind of said, I'm not sure we need to. And they've released a couple statements on it, and one of them is that basically the checking out of the car, because it was a car that was used in an official capacity, a rental car, was unauthorized. And so in UGA's mind, they say, look, you had some staffers and some players who were close in age, who get to know each other through all working for the same program. We're basically socializing, and the car was checked out, it was unauthorized, and this happened. I haven't personally seen anything yet to indicate there's anything more nefarious going on. Just bad decisions. But I do think that the university and the athletic department are going to, definitely hammer out some more HR guidelines and stress some things. And something they really need to get a handle on, and they probably already have, is racing and reckless driving. Because a current player, Jamon Dumas Johnson, was arrested for the same charges on January 10th. 5 days, well, he wasn't arrested until 2 weeks ago, but it was for racing on January 10th. They went back and were able to charge him with that recently. So that's two incidents in a week span. And that's obviously something Kirby Smart's got to get a handle on. And I suspect he's going to be asked about it at the outset of spring practice in a week and a half or a couple weeks. And they're probably already hammering home on that already.
Seth, I realize my final question is not the most important one. It's somewhat absurd, except that Jalen Carter was at the NFL Combine. Is there any read on what his future looks like in the NFL right now, or early in this story?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, Paul, because on the one hand, they're misdemeanors. And so I think NFL teams are going to want to know, is there anything more? Or is this all that's going to be there? On the other hand, each misdemeanor is still punishable by up for a year in prison. So you've got to make sure that you're not drafting somebody who isn't going to be free. And I don't know that the Athens district attorney is operating on the same timetable as, I don't think he cares about the NFL draft. And I don't know that can happen quickly enough, but they'll also look into Carter's background more and make sure there's no other risks. So I don't know. I mean, it's too early to say whether or not he's definitely going to drop. And if he does, how far? You know, the thing he has going for him is he's exceptionally talented. And we've seen the NFL will look past a lot of stuff for that. But this obviously today is going to be cause to do a lot of due diligence on him and wait to see how this process plays out with this arrest here.
Seth Emerson, many thanks, Seth. Appreciate you jumping on here to start our program off. A long conversation there, a lot of answers that we are still waiting for, and we will get to as many of them as we can over these next 3.5 hours. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back. A rather bizarre story to deal with, and there are, quite frankly, more questions I have now than answers. And we'll continue, get some reaction. Our first chance to go to the phones, and Pat is up first.
Hey, Paul, thanks. The Seth Emerson interview, that was really good. I think what we're hearing in the words of Paul Harvey is the rest of the story of the accident report and the results of the toxicology. The driver was 2 times the legal limit. That there was racing involved. I don't have an issue with us finding out about the racing at this point in time. And I'm wondering if what has happened at with Alabama basketball, that just took Georgia. We had other things to talk about for right now, but it is
worth mentioning, Pat, that these two things happened around the same time, and it really was the Georgia story that consumed all of our conversation those first couple of days, and really the Alabama story didn't pop back up. But there was always an unnerving feeling about this story from the beginning that we didn't know very much. And according to some people with whom I visited with a week or two ago, that there was always more to come, but I never thought it was going to be Jalen Carter.
Well, let me, and I'd like to make a point, and I have a fairly reliable source, which would enable me to make this.
By the way, Pat, can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
I went into my editor's office many, many years ago in my newspaper career, and I had written a big story, and I described this person as a usually reliable source. And he threw me out of his office. He said, don't come back with a reliable or a usually reliable. Come back with somebody that knows what they're talking about. I'm just kidding, of course. But
of course. But the point I want to make, I've had a serious discussion with a longtime, one of my best friends. What happened that night and with the 4 people in the car and the way they were in the car and what they did earlier that night and the unauthorized use of the rental car. they've had HR policies in the athletic department at the University of Georgia going back to the 60s, all right? And what they were doing is against the guidelines. Employees and staff of the athletic department are not supposed to socialize with student athletes. I mean, it's been that way forever. So there's a lot to this story. I don't have an issue right now with us finding out
well,
about
listen, right now, thank you, Pat. I mean, I would say right now this story has taken a pretty wicked turn, but I appreciate you holding too strong a judgment. Let's check in with Dustin in Tulsa. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, good morning, Paul. Well, I got a cease and desist from Red Lobster today. They said that if I invoke their name in any calls as bad as the one as I had yesterday, they were going to bring the full might of their legal team to bear against me. So might have to hang up the Red Lobster gag. Also, thank you for not taking my follow-up call yesterday, because what I was going to do was invite you to a friendly wager on the Razorbacks and the Vols game, because I was feeling pretty confident about it. But we got beat like a bunch of rented mules yesterday. That wasn't pretty. And after watching it, I'm not sure that the Hogs even deserve, and I'm not saying this as sour grapes, but I'm not even sure that they deserve to be a tournament team.
Well, bottom line, they're going to get in the tournament. Unfortunately for Tennessee, they came out the biggest loser in the game with Ziegler out for the year.
Absolutely.
But when you talk, we're talking about 68 teams. Don't be too hard on the Razorbacks. They're better than at least about 45 of those teams that will get in the tournament.
Well, it's, you know, as a fan who really cares, you know, I'm not trying to come down on them, but it's frustrating to see guys who you know can play better than they are playing to make, you know, poor decisions and short-sighted mistakes. So that part was frustrating. But anyway, I'm going to get out of the way here. I know you're going to have an interesting show. It's just like we just feels like we went from the frying pan to the fire. But I did want to say briefly, thank you very much to Iman and Handsome Joe, who both had some nice things to say about me in the past week or two. It was kind of cool to have some of the old-timers say that they kind of liked me.
Jason is up next in Athens. Hey, Jason, go right ahead. I'll try that one more time. Jason is up next in Athens. Go right ahead. Reminds me of being in high school, calling up some young lady and asking her out. And go, was that an answer, or is that a dial tone I'm talking to? Let's talk to Mitch next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you for asking.
Paul, has your show become a beauty pageant?
Something like that, Mitch.
I mean, these people that are the AJs and the Dustins that are calling.
Yeah, you know, I love interacting with people, but there comes a point when I just feel like you're on your own. When you're trying humor from a 1967 version of Hee Haw, then I feel like I need to sit that one out.
I agree, and I mean, they're trying hard, and I got news for them, and you could tell them, I know from experience, the harder you try, the less people like you. And that gets me to my point. How am I on the bubble? I shouldn't even be anywhere near it.
I was about to compliment you on this call to say you're off the bubble, but Mitch.
I mean, I'll take it. I'll take it,
Mitch. There's an unwritten rule in the tournament in terms of heritage, and you check a lot of boxes in terms of. I mean, you're like North Carolina. They probably don't deserve to be in the NCAA tournament, but they're going to get in because they're North Carolina.
Like and they'll take it, and I'll take it too. But you know,
let me warn you, Mitch. When you're on the bubble, don't talk yourself out of being there.
Well, at least I'm honest. I ain't like that one that called yesterday. And
by the way, the guy that just called in, he was on the bubble too. We just put him in the NIT. We'll be right back. More to come on the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back. Appreciate you being here. We'll talk to Griff a little bit later on. He is at the Combine, and we'll get his thoughts on Jalen Carter as well. Jason is up next in Athens. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. I appreciated that you chatted with Seth Emerson today. Seth is a great sports writer. Especially because I'm a Georgia Bulldogs fan, and I appreciate that. I just want to say, like, the Jalen Carter thing, I think the primary thing we should think about, obviously they all made terrible mistakes, but it's just a tragedy. And you know, Seth mentioned something about the Athens DA or something, but it's not even the DA, it's the solicitor's office because it's, just misdemeanors, but I feel terrible about how Jalen must feel about, you know, the death of some of his friends. It's a sad situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question that everyone feels terrible. I mean, we're talking about a significant loss of life here, a pall over everything, but. There's almost nothing to add. The only thing you can hope is that people take notice and realize that when you're behind the wheel of a car, it is not a toy, and it's not a game. I know they realize that. I know they realize that. Hopefully, others will watch this and learn from it. Thank you very, very much. Will is up next. In North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. I want to start the phone call off. It's not why I called, but just thinking about Zakai Ziegler. I mean, that pretty much, to me, seems like it puts the nail in Tennessee's coffin, but I can't think of it.
Yeah, we were talking about that a minute ago. They were already shaky based on their play, mm-hmm. but, I mean, he is the... He's the key to that operation. That was a devastating blow.
He's the one that spreads the ball out. The offense wasn't really dynamic, but I mean, I still like their defense. But anyway, that's not why I called. Dustin's Red Lobster sketch is really getting old. I mean, it's
yeah.
I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah, no, it's not even old. It's over. If he ever mentions Red Lobster again, he's gone.
I mean, it's floundering. That's my joke of the day.
Yeah.
But what's up with this Larry and Legend feud the past few nights to end the show? I mean, it's just a bunch of old men going back and forth wooing like Ric Flair. I mean, I hate to see Alabama on Alabama Crime. I mean, that dominates the headlines anyway. So, I mean, can't wait. I mean, what's up with him? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, what's it the beef over? Who stole whose Ric Flair call?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, when you steal something from someone, you don't have a right to accuse someone of then stealing it from you.
I mean, it's a terrible way to end your show every night. I mean, yeah. Come on, guys, can't we just
if I a little known secret, Will, I leave now 30 minutes before the show is over, so I'm really not even here.
Oh my!
By the
gosh.
Way, I'm not even here now. This is Monday's show. You are hearing.
Oh my gosh! All right, Paul, you take it easy today.
Thank you.
I'll
I'm trying to remember who. Somebody called and asked for you yesterday, Randy, or the day before. I can't remember. Yeah, I don't know. You weren't here, so I didn't really act like I knew who you were. Shlomo in L.A. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul.
I guess it is afternoon in L.A. now.
It is. Yes. How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
So, Paul, before I get into it, I just wanted to let you know that I started a new company yesterday called Mark Emmert Movers.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We had our first client yesterday.
Did you give Mr. Emmert or Dr. Emmert a discount?
I had to because I only brought trash bags with me.
Okay.
So the good thing, though, he had an axe, so we were able to put all his furniture in bags as well.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that the Emmert final couple of days was one of the least memorable I've ever seen of any fairly well-known public figure.
Yeah, I think we should take the time to list his accomplishments. And we're finished. Okay. So, Paul, I've been feeling pretty anxious about all this volatility in college football on the administrative side. And I'm getting, feelings of professional wrestling in the 80s when Vince McMahon took over.
Yeah.
And all these territories just went by the wayside. And so there was only two left. And eventually one of those went away too. And it's just, I feel like in the near future or the distant future, we're looking at a college football that's just going to be as stale as the NFL is now sometimes. I mean, for me, if I'm not watching my favorite NFL team, or the playoffs, I'm not really watching the NFL. And that's what makes college football so fun, is the versatility, the pageantry, how everything's so different. It's almost like going to a foreign country.
Hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Johnny B. is up next in Alabama. Hello, Johnny B.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I had just noticed on Twitter, Eli Gold has announced his return to Alabama football. Maybe that'll help straighten a lot of these problems out, too.
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm really glad that he is coming back. We certainly have missed him dearly.
That's great news. I was glad to hear it. I just didn't want to know if everybody had heard about it. I just wanted to share it with everybody. And you have a good day, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very, very much. Brandon is up next in Alabama. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Brandon, we are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, first-time caller. Paul, most people call me Chef, and I just wanted to ask you a question. Can you smell what the chef is cooking? Woo!
He stole the
wood. Wow. Chris is up next. Hey, Chris, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul. I think that deserves a lifetime ban there. You know, this Jalen Carter situation seems like there's just so many unanswered questions. Like, so he was interviewed at the scene, but we're just now finding that out? I mean, was he given a breathalyzer at the scene?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean that is baffling. And you know, I tried to make sense out of what we were being told earlier in the conversation with Seth. I mean, there are conflicting stories on that now that, you know, he was interviewed on the scene. At what point was he interviewed on the scene? Did he come back? Did he leave? Did he assist? I mean, I don't have any idea yet. And I know one report said he was not at the scene.
I mean, that seems like a pretty important piece of the puzzle here.
I think it may be one of the most important in his life based on what he is currently trying to do.
So when will the truth come out on that? I mean, it seems like this is taking so long just to get to this point. I just don't understand how they can't confirm that he was interviewed there. I mean, I'm just really still confused on how they're letting this play out like this.
I don't know, Chris. I heard about it this morning, just like all of you did, and we know a little bit more now.
You would think also. I mean, if he's involved in racing with this car, is he not more culpable in the accident? I mean, a misdemeanor seems very light for somebody that was.
Well, listen, I certainly don't know vehicular law in Georgia, but I mean, unless it can be shown or proven that he caused the accident.
Sure.
Which I would think in 6 weeks you would at least have a better idea about that. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Do appreciate it. Eddie in Waycross, Georgia. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Paul. I was talking about the Jalen Carter and Brandon Miller situation.
Yes.
It seems like these two things are trying to be, you know, made as one. But what it comes down to really is a series of bad choices that these young people have made, you know, and there's consequences to the choices that we make. And, you know, with Jalen Carter, you know, there was no intent on anyone getting hurt. Just like Brandon Miller, when he come back, there was no intent on him harming anyone, you know. But it's sad that these kids make choices, and now these could be, you know, that's two lives lost, and there could be two lives that's changed forever over a series of bad choices.
Well, you're 100% correct on that, and I do appreciate the call. Hey, thank you very, very much. We're heading to a break. We have a long way to go. We'll get back to that Jalen Carter story in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. As we continue here on a busy Wednesday afternoon, CC is in South Carolina. Good afternoon.
How are you doing today, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for taking the call, and I appreciate the initial interview you had with Seth. Very insightful, and I enjoyed the back and forth between both of you. There was a couple of moments in there where I felt that you were looking for a little instant gratification on a few of those points, but I think you asked some very important questions. In light of the latest strategies we've been talking about the past 30 days and beyond, one of the concerns that I think that I start to wonder about just as a casual fan is if we're not starting to foster a culture of, and not we, but the collective we, foster this culture that promotes this type of tragedy as we move forward. And we could talk about NIL, and we could talk about what that's brought about. But in terms of just the sport overall, or the sports overall collectively, are we moving in a direction where maybe the hallmark of some of the better programs are going to be the ones who really truly protect the integrity and the safety of the student athlete?
Well, CeCe, I think you said something I want to jump on for a moment. You mentioned NIL, and I'm not going to come to any overgeneralization here, but even in the Brandon Miller case, here is someone who's only going to be there 9 months, who has major NIL deals. And I think the athletes are harder to manage. I refrain from using the word student athlete because I think it's a contradiction. But I agree. I do think that all of this self-aggrandizing by people that think something is going to change here, I'm not optimistic.
Well, I see your point there, and I think it's well taken. I think it puts the universities, particularly the publics, in between a rock and a hard place, because one could argue that there's fiduciary responsibilities potentially that could be there.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.